Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. I am one of your hosts. My name is Alex Croson, and of course, it's no surprise to anyone, I'm sitting across from Casey Clapp.
Honestly, I was hoping you were going to say a random name. Yep, not going to be a surprise to anyone, sitting next to Ralph Nader.
God, that would be amazing. Can we get Nader on the pod?
Wait a second, Alex. You think it would be amazing to get Ralph Nader on the podcast?
No, I don't know much about Ralph Nader's politics. He's green, right? The Green Party?
Yeah, he's the Green Party. Well, yeah. It was. I don't know if Ralph Nader is even still in politics.
I don't know if Ralph Nader is even still alive.
Let's goop. Should we? No. We'll let this happen.
We can't start the podcast that way.
Yeah. Everyone, we have an announcement. Al Gore and Ralph Nader, they've both passed.
We have another announcement. Casey and I will be running for joint mayor of Portland.
Yes.
2027.
I don't know how that's relevant to Ralph Nader and Al Gore. You realize they're national politicians.
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Oh, thanks for poking a hole in my bit.
Anyway,
I really appreciate that.
Honestly, everything was believable until you said that, Alex.
Casey, isn't it kind of fun that, to pivot really hard, isn't it kind of fun that we can now hear the theme song and all the musical stings while we record?
For those of you who don't know, Alex is a magician.
Oh, yeah.
And has a bunch of buttons. And every now and then he comes up to me and he says, Casey, look at this. And I'm like, what? And he presses the same button that he's pressed 100 times and it does something different. This time, now it is playing all of our stuff in our ears.
So we can kind of get into the vibe.
Yeah.
Also, you say I'm a magician, and I was going to say, I can drop an MP3 onto a sampler.
It's a magic button, Alex. You press those buttons 10 times for me, and each time they're a different thing. Sometimes it's for your music. Sometimes it's this other thing.
Well,
we're going to bring them to Tobin's book opening.
That's true. That's the magic of a sampler, Casey. Yeah. You can make it sound however you want.
It's stunning. And right now, I feel very happy to hear my own music for my own show on this.
Yeah, it feels really good. It kind of gets you in the zone,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It really does. Really does.
Well, Casey, speaking of getting in the zone, we are back here in the present day post. We'll call this era of our show post Excellent Adventure.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah. Everything before this was, I guess, it was just an excellent adventure. Now we're more serious.
Yeah, where were you when Completely Arbitrary did Excellent Adventure? Yeah. Everybody remembers where they were when they heard the news, right?
Yeah, they were like, well, I was tying my shoe in the store and that came on. I was like, what? Oh my God. Yeah.
So. When are they getting back to the normal format?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They hated all the editing, it sounded so written as if there was a script, which, to be clear, there wasn't.
No, it was just a live recorded adventure that we went on with Tobin Mitnick
on his magic stump.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow. What a time it was to be alive. And here we are again in our normal format.
You know, I feel changed. I feel like we learned a lot.
You don't come back from something like that not having changed.
You sure don't. But as I say now every episode, malice means evil.
Okay. Well,
shall we continue?
Is that going on your headstone?
It's going to go on my headstone. Yeah. And then you know what? Those sons of bitches are going to plant an apple tree right on top of me. I'm going to be so mad.
It'll be me, my friend.
Alex, honestly, I would love that.
No way. I'm dying first, for sure.
The irony would be so good, though. If you did live longer, plant an apple tree on top of my grave. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant it would be ironic if I lived longer than you, and I started to spiral into what that means.
What is he saying? No, I did not mean that. It would be completely unironic.
All right. Well, let's move on from that morbid thought, Casey. Today, we are talking about a tree that we've had requested a few times.
Yes.
It's been, I feel like it's been in the hopper for a couple of years.
It has, yeah. It's one of the most common trees. In fact, it's a tree I've skipped over many times because it's like, nah, too easy.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, we are resting on our laurels this episode because we are talking about
the northern red oak, Quercus rubra.
Rubra.
Yes, rubra, the color red. I should say we're not resting on our laurels. This is going to be an extraordinary episode.
I'll probably edit that out.
Yo, no, don't please.
Oh, okay.
So here's the question, though, Alex.
Well, if we were really resting on our laurels, we would be doing a laurel.
Oh, see, that's where we've messed up.
That's how we get cheap.
We're resting on no laurels right now. We're resting on oaks.
We're resting on our acorns.
Yes, exactly. Now, Alex, are you familiar with this tree?
Listen, I don't want to preempt anything here, but I'm going to.
All right.
I'm not a big red oak guy.
What?
I like my white oaks.
You like a white oak? You like the oaks with the lobes that are rounded?
Yes.
As opposed to the red oaks that have pointed.
That's exactly why, Casey.
I'm
not a pointed lobe guy.
Wow.
I say a lobe must be round. And that's part of my platform as mayor of Portland.
Okay, as co-mayor of Portland. And I, on the yin to your yang, will say, I, however, prefer a red oak because red oaks have pointy bristle tips.
See, this is very fascinating. A little difference between you and me.
Interesting.
I think this also matches our body types and personalities.
What do you mean? Like that you and I are yin and yang of all sorts?
I don't want to embarrass you here.
Wow.
But it's yang.
What?
Yeah.
Yang? Really?
Yeah, it's yin and yang.
Yin and yang?
I know, because I've been...
You're doing...
researching traditional Chinese medicine for the last 2.5 weeks.
All right, I think this is a good time to go to break, Alex.
A lifetime of experience. I know that it's yang.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, it's true.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I always thought I was pronouncing it quite correctly.
No. You weren't.
Yeah, very clearly and obvious.
So you're a red oak man. I'm a white oak man. Today is your episode. We're talking about the northern red oak.
We're going to do it.
And I'm assuming that this thing, before we go to break, let's maybe set the scene. This is an oak that grows in the northeast of America, I'm feeling?
Yes. Okay. Northeast and actually just kind of east generally.
Okay.
But then again, most of that area kind of is intermingled with lots of different things.
Okay.
This would be the more northern of the oak trees because there's also a southern red oak.
Wow.
Quercus falcata. So in this case, we're just going to say, yes, northern red oak. It is the more northern of all the red oaks that we have out there.
Mm. Did you say focaccia?
Oh, no, I didn't. I said falcata.
Quercus focaccia.
Quercus focaccia.
I need to get on that, Casey.
Yeah, honestly, could you make that? Maybe like get some acorns, leach them, roast them, turn them into a bit of a flour?
Sure.
You think you could make that into a focaccia?
I'm not a baker, but I know somebody who could probably attack that.
Could someone try that?
Attempt that, excuse me.
Yeah, honestly, I think it has to be attacked.
I'm going to attack it when it's done baking, so put it in my mouth.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, we got to go on break. We'll be right back with more Completely Arbitrary, the Northern Red Oak Quercus rubra, right after this. Hi, everybody. Or should I say, hola a todos. I want you to hear something. It's this. Yes, that is the sound of learning a new language with Babbel. You have, of course, heard of Babbel. You maybe even used Babbel. But if you haven't, Babbel is an app that helps you learn languages. Babbel is a science-backed learning language app that actually works. Let me put it this way. I knew somebody who used a different language app for 365 days and still could not even have basic conversations in the language they were learning on that app. Babbel is not this. They have quick 10-minute lessons and they're handcrafted by 200 language experts so you can start learning a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Because it's designed by real people for real conversations. In fact, a recent study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. And of course, the best way to learn a new language is immersion. You go and live in the place where the people speak the language you're learning. You speak to the people, they speak back. But the second best way is Babbel. And it's practical. It will very quickly teach you how to order food, ask for directions, speak to shopkeepers without having to consult language apps while you're on vacation. And here is a special limited time deal for our listeners right now. Get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for Fungal Associates at babbel.com/trees. That's right. If you're listening to this, if you're a fan of this show, babbel.com/trees. Get 60% off your subscription. That's babbel.com/trees. Rules and restrictions may apply. Adios. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, everybody. It's Alex here. And you know what? Come springtime, those trees are a-bloomin'. Those people are a-walkin' around. That sun is a-shinin'. And it makes me so grateful for my social life. People are wanting to do things again, and it can be extremely rewarding to start to see friends more often and, you know, go on cute friend dates or romantical dates, sit on a patio and drink a coffee. Ooh la la. But it's really easy to overdo it. And for me, it's very important to keep an eye on my social battery. Every time I go on a social outing, I come home and I'm like, wow, I am really tired in a very specific way. Well, that's my battery. That's my social battery being drained. And I didn't really have this language until I started going to therapy. I didn't know why being around people made me so exhausted, even though I love those people and enjoy being around them. But therapy helped me with my self-awareness and helped me unlock some language that I didn't otherwise have. And if you are struggling with feelings and thoughts that you don't understand, therapy can be a great way to unlock the power of understanding. And a great way to start is BetterHelp. It's completely online and it's designed to be super convenient and flexible, which is very important. How many times have you had a therapy session on the calendar and that time rolls around and you think, I gotta drive all the way across town. I am not gonna go. It has, of course, happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to everybody who's been in therapy. No worries with BetterHelp. It's all online. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, of course. And nobody nails it on their first time. It's like going on dates. You gotta find the right therapist for you. It's silly to think that the very first date you ever go on is going to be your future spouse. So you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. It's extremely easy. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/trees today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/trees. Happy spring! Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. Today we are talking the Northern Red Oak, Quercus rubra, the jewel of the East, as they say.
They do say that. Alex, nobody says that.
Do you think you and I are sort of like doubly Western centric because we're American and we live in the Pacific Northwest? And is this a problem?
I don't think so, because we talk about a lot of things. So you're Western-centric if that's all you see and that's all you talk about.
Sure.
So ideally not. Well, I don't know. Maybe we're not the ones to judge.
Yeah, I think anybody with a good compass for these things would be these guys are...
We try to talk about it. And I think we would be if you'd be Western-centric or whatever-centric if you say, this is the only red oak. And then everyone else in the world is like, we got a bunch of those over here.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
This just happens to be the one that grows over there.
Right. I don't know. Well, maybe a topic for a Patreon or something.
Yeah. We'll discuss our biases. Yeah. Honestly, I would love to do that because it would just be a reason to steer into talking about conifers of the Pacific Northwest and nothing else.
I mean, I feel like our show will eventually evolve into its purest form, which is just you and I talking about the Douglas fir every episode.
Every episode. Well, today we're going to talk about the third branch from the bottom on this Douglas fir.
Wow. We missed a trick, Casey, doing a whole season about a singular tree.
Just one tree.
One specimen.
Now, see, if there was a tree that was that interesting, I would do that.
What is the most interesting tree?
Yeah, like not the species, like a literal example, an individual tree that equals the most interesting tree.
We'll come see it. We'll appraise it.
We'll throw Dos Equis its way, and it'll be good. Who are we kidding? It's probably already drinking a Dos Equis.
Hey, you know what today's tree would say? I don't always grow acorns, but when I do, it's a mast year.
Is that what they say?
Casey, let's imagine that you and I are walking through an eastern forest. Okay. Say, I've really wanted to go to North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me, South Carolina. And we come across some northern red oak. Casey.
Yes, sir.
Let's ID this tree.
All right, Alex. So you don't need to be in anywhere in the eastern United States to see this tree. You can go to anywhere in Portland and pretty much point at a big tree. If it's a big tree that's not a Douglas fir, not a conifer of any kind, it's going to be the Western Red Cedar. Oh my God. It's going to be It's going to be a Northern Red Oak. That was a snafu that Alex just edited out.
not an Oregon White Oak.
Not an Oregon White Oak. Oregon White Oaks are planted and they do grow here very wonderfully.
Well, obviously.
But in the city of Portland, the Northern Red Oak. Uh-huh. And just to be clear, everyone, I am not going to get this wrong. I'm going to be Northern Red Oak this whole time. Straight up. So you're walking through South Carolina. You're in the mountains a little bit. And you see a tree. First thing that you're going to notice in the mountains and in the forest is that these trees are big, tall oak trees.
Mm.
Now, oak trees in the east are famous for growing up in forests. So they have a forested kind of appearance where they have one tall stem that grows up, but then at the top they spread out with all their big branches,
Of
creating an umbrella that is like, it's more like a palm tree kind of umbrella the way I would describe it.
Sure. They're sort of columnar. They're not so much ovate.
Everything is growing straight up. Ovate, kind of oval-like. But so here's the thing, Alex. If you're in Oregon, where we plant them in parks and street trees, they actually have a much wider, broader canopy. Mm-hmm. Some of the biggest ones in Portland have branches that start maybe about 10 or 12 feet, and they're 3 feet in diameter, and they just go straight out at like, I don't know, is this like a 60 degree angle, my arms?
Don't know.
45.
Uh-huh.
50. Yeah, about a 60 degree angle. Yeah.
Good job.
They just grow out and up, and they get huge.
Okay.
And I mean like not like casually big. I mean like, oh my God, that's a gargantuan tree.
You know this, One of the bigger trees in our vicinity right now is this American beech down the road. Or is it a European beech?
Yes, a European beech. Okay. That one,
it is a monster.
It's huge.
Yeah. How does that compare to your average northern red oak?
The same age, I would say the northern red oak will be much wider. It'll be the same height, but it will have this giant spread.
Okay.
They just get massive. So that is the first thing you're going to see. It's got nice gray bark. The gray bark tends to have these long furrows that go vertically, and they're broken up by kind of horizontal cracks every now and then.
Hmm.
But nothing like too insane. But they generally have smooth bark when they're young. So the smooth bark transitions into these long, one of my old teachers called it a ski slope, where it looks like there's these long slopes kind of going down, and you can almost just draw your finger down before they break up halfway through.
I'm going to Google this.
Please, give it a Google. And so you'll first see that this is a big, tall tree. Either it's tall with a big stem that then has a giant canopy that comes out at the top of a forest, or it is a canopy that is broad from the very base and it just gets beyond huge. Those are the two options you're pretty much going to see.
Now, we're using a lot of adjectives here today.
Yes.
Let's get into some hard numbers, Casey.
I think that sounds like a good idea, Alex.
Average height.
100 feet tall, about max.
Okay.
75, 80 is where you kind of generally see them.
That's not...
It's an East Coast species, Alex. What do you expect? They're doing their best. They're trying to get as tall as they can. But the competition doesn't require them to do anything else.
Our apologies to...
Are we Western-centric? No. We're just realistic about expectations.
That's fine.
I think that's okay.
Yeah, okay. So that's not huge... But it's I suppose that is maybe big for a broadleaf tree.
I mean, yeah. Well, yeah.
I don't want to give qualifiers. I respect this tree.
But. I mean, they can get up to 140, 150 feet tall. You know, so like the very tallest, the oldest, the biggest, they can really get up there. But the ones you're going to see just kind of walking around, living your life, about 80, 100 feet.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
All right. So that's the bark. That's the morphology.
Yep.
Okay. So you know what I want to talk about next. We kind of got two hooters at the end here.
We do.
Well, that sounds like, weird.
What kind? There's owls in this? Is that what you're talking about?
There's a wing restaurant on the top floor of this tree.
Let's go get wings.
The acorn and the leaf.
Yes.
I think I want to end with the acorn.
Okay. All right.
So let's talk leaf.
Let's talk leaf. The leaf of this, of course, it is an oak, as you noted, and it is a red oak. So we've talked about red oaks and black oaks versus their counterparts, the white oaks.
Yes.
These are broad spectrum kind of generalist terms. One meaning that, the white oak group is a subfamily, and they have leaves that have nice rounded lobes, and their acorns will always get mature in 1 year.
Oh, I didn't know this acorn thing.
Ah, yes.
Can I maybe purport where you're going?
You may.
White oaks, 1 year acorns.
Yes.
Are red oaks 2 year acorns?
Correct.
So that's what we're talking about when we say mast years.
Yes.
That's...
Well, it's the mast year, but also mast years are just years where there's a lot of acorns.
Sure, a high yield.
Yeah, it's not necessarily every 2 years because they take 2 years to make their acorns. Because they'll make flowers every single year. So their acorns would just be off by a year. So flower in year zero would have acorn in year two.
Mm-hmm.
But flower in year one will have acorn in year three.
Oh.
So on and so forth. So every year, there's always going to be some amount of acorns.
On a red oak?
Yeah, on both of them.
I thought you said it took 2 years.
It does, but that doesn't mean that they skip a year in flowering.
I got it.
Okay. So this is the thing.
You know how I did give stump of approval?
Yes.
Anytime I miss, just like something goes over my head.
That's when you give a stump of approval.
This is kind of an original soundbite by me. I'm going to say... Don't.
That is original, Alex. Very original. I don't know if I support that. We're going to get sued by someone who may think they have done that first.
The Disney Corporation? Yes. Okay, so every 2 years, our northern red oak is producing a acorn from 2 years prior, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
And that's if it has a big acorn crop. So that's the mast years, is that some years they just don't produce any acorns at all and their flowers just don't really go for it.
Yeah.
So this is kind of two different things. They take 2 years to mature, but they also have big mast years and low mast years.
Okay.
So we're not talking about the acorns right now, though. We're talking about the leaves.
That's true. Apologies.
That's all right. So our leaves on our oak, just as all oaks, you have leaves that are alternately arranged along the stem. They are simple leaves, and these particular leaves are Quercus rubra leaves. They come out, and they're kind of big, fat leaves with these same lobes that come out. The only difference being, instead of rounded lobes, black oaks and red oaks, which are the same group, same name for the same group. Mm-hmm. Some people call them red oak group. Some people call them the black oak group.
Oh, okay.
They have bristle tips. So if you look up any of the leaves for Quercus rubra, or if anyone says, oh, that's a red oak, it needs to have tips that go into these fine points. And they call them bristle tips just because they come almost to a point, and then they kind of have a little, it looks like a hair, but it's really just like, it kind of just goes to the end and then just kind of becomes the very teeny tiniest tip of the edge of this leaf.
On some of these I'm looking at, it almost looks like a little mini serration just on the tip of the lobe.
Just the tiniest little thing. Yeah. That's pretty much it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they are generally kind of like fat leaves, and this is the thing that sets them apart from, say, the pin oak or the scarlet oak. Those two have very deep sinuses, so their lobes are much more pronounced.
Sinuses?
Yes, Alex, a sinus, that is the space between the lobes.
I love it.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's great.
Whenever I do Tri-ID courses, I always make fun of scientists because they name the things in between the things. So you can say these have big lobes, or they have deep sinuses.
Which is saying ultimately the same thing.
It's literally six one way, half a dozen the
other.
It's the perfect use of that idiom.
That was perfect, Case.
All right.
I get it, because the sinuses are sort of shaped like sinuses in our head.
Yeah, they're just like a hole, right, in between, you know, whatever it is. In that case, your sinuses are like bones, I guess?
Your sinuses are, the space between bones.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Either way, that's what they call them. So these, our northern red oak has fairly shallow lobes, which is important in terms of tree identification.
Mm.
It also has very dark green foliage, and then on the bottom, the foliage is a very muted, lighter green color.
Yeah.
You're not going to find a whole lot of hair growing also.
Pubescence.
Yes, on the black oak, there will be little teeny tiny hairs that grow on the, like, if you flip the leaf over where the veins reticulate, where they branch off, you find a little bit of kind of hair, a little pubescence right there.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's why they call it velutina, that the black oak, so it's velvet.
Wow.
Velvetiness to it.
I'm learning all sorts of satisfying facts today, Casey.
All right, this is what I'm here for, Alex. This is why we have this podcast, so I can give you satisfying facts.
That's right. And if you want to rep this podcast to your friends and family, go to arbitrarypod.com/merch.
Wow, that was so beautiful, Alex. Well placed.
That's my commercial voice.
Yeah, it was really good. I would have bought that.
Thank you.
So the big thing, though, the thing that we always, you know, really want to hear about are the acorns.
Yeah, let's get to it. I love the fruit of anything, man.
Can I tell you the way that this acorn was described to me years ago by someone in one of my classes somewhere? They said it looks like a
good memory.
Thank you, Alex. They said this, and I apologize in advance. It looks like a chubby Frenchman in a little beret.
I adore that.
Okay, I'm glad. I'm sorry for all the Frenchmen, everyone out there who could be offended by that. But you look at it and you just kind of see this little chubby acorn. Like, it's not very tall. It's not wider than it is tall, but it's just kind of a rotund acorn. And the cap looks like it's barely hanging on.
Can I give a, what are those, you know, type species?
Yeah.
I think this is like the type acorn for an
really?
Oak to me. It just is so acorny.
I love that.
You know
it
what
is.
I mean?
It totally is. Like, it has the it's just classic. I think that's the perfect way to describe it.
It's very classic.
So this little cap has, it kind of curls in. It doesn't really go down, covers maybe the top quarter of the acorn. The acorn is this nice chestnut brown. Like, it's a very beautiful acorn.
Mm.
And they're fairly big. Like, they'd be essentially the size of a quarter. I say that because I looked at my fingers and I was like, yeah, it's bigger than a penny. Then I look at my resource, which is the lovely Oregon State landscape plants.
Yes.
And the picture I'm looking at literally is a quarter next to that. So maybe that's
quarter
a little bit
for scale.
Yeah. What is that? Subliminal messaging?
Sure.
My brain's like, this is about the size of a quarter. I don't know how I know that.
Here's how.
Yeah. This is simply obvious.
Casey's beautiful minding all over the room. I will say, I may be a white oak man.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be careful with that. But I do love this leaf and this acorn.
You do.
I do.
Okay. This is very good.
I've got a fondness for it.
It's because it's gorgeous. They're just really gorgeous.
I've got a fondness for it.
Now, the thing also about these leaves is that in the fall, of course, it's called a red oak. They turn a vibrant red color. And many oaks will turn a red, yellow, or even just brown and just kind of hang on to their leaves.
Yeah.
This really does go red and then yellow and then drops away. Like, they're really gorgeous leaves. They have a nice little kind of, depending on the leaf, the colors will be kind of a mixture between yellow and red, and they'll kind of have this whole flavor on the entire tree. It's,
you know,
really stunning.
You know, when you see images of or footage, time-lapse footage of the Appalachians turning red.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Will the northern red oak grow there?
Oh yeah, this is the one.
Okay.
Yeah, especially in the southern Appalachian mountains.
Cool.
Yeah. So this is the oak tree that we're talking about.
Wow.
This is the northern red oak, Quercus rubra. Rubra, of course, meaning red.
Have we landed on what Quercus means? It means wood, right? Or it means tree?
Yeah. It's a change in the term. It used to be called quercitron was the name
That's
of the
right.
actual oak tree. So Quercus is just the Latin, kind of a little bit of a change Latin for the oak tree.
We've talked before about... and I want to recognize that I am in a particular mood today, Can you tell that I want to talk about a million things?
Yes, it's great.
And I have a microphone in front of me. Yeah. So
keep it coming, Alex.
Oh, the power. We've talked about...
why are you just now realizing you've had this power? It's been like 2.5 years.
I think I just found confidence. We've talked about, dendromorphs. Somebody messaged us about that. Do you remember anamorphs? We've talked about dendromorphs of a person turning into a tree.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about transformers in the same way of like a person mm-hmm. or robot turning into a tree, robotic tree. Quercitron would be a great...
It's a low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. All right, Casey. Well, today we're talking Northern Red Oak.
That is true. And I actually specifically am talking about the wood of the Northern Red Oak.
How about that? Could we have asked for a more perfect subject?
There's no possibility. It's impossible.
Well, what about the wood, Casey?
Well, we talked a lot about wood, generally speaking, about trees, generally speaking, but I wanted to cover it in a very succinct way, but I wanted to talk about how wood is developed and how trees grow and become what they are. And the main reason I wanted to do this, I taught a tree ID course not last week, and they were looking at two buds on a maple tree, and I was saying, well, maples are opposite, so their buds would be oppositely arranged.
Right.
Someone looked at this tree, we're looking at it, and said, well, what about that? That's not opposite. And how did that happen? And I was like, oh, gosh, well, I should explain. As trees grow, they will make adjustments with how they're doing things. Hmm. They're always going to put on opposite buds. But sometimes, bud on the left will be in the shade. Bud on the right will be in the sun.
Oh.
So bud on the left will maybe grow a couple leaves, and then the tree will be like, nah, not worth it. And then it will shut that down.
You've said before that trees are adapting to everything all the time.
Yes.
Which I think is just beautiful in a way.
Well, thank you, Alex. I really appreciate how you brought that back up.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. I generally forget a lot of the things that I say, so you're the best person to bring that up all the time.
This is the teacher giving the bad student a compliment for staying on task.
Yes.
I really like how you got this done.
Good job. Thank you.
Trying to encourage good behavior.
Yeah, because I forgot that I told you that fact. No, Alex, thank you. You're right.
Yeah.
They do. They're constantly adapting all the time to everything.
Which makes ID even trickier, no?
It does, yeah. So you got to look at several different examples along, you know, right. one stem or along the, you know, a whole branch, a whole side tree, the whole tree if you can.
Mm.
So I wanted to bring that up and talk specifically about how wood does this, because wood is generally the thing that everyone kind of forgets about with trees. They know that wood exists. You see wood on the floor, you know, you have 2x4s and things that build your house. But then people see a tree that's growing up that's really tall, and they think to themselves, ooh, that's scary. That thing could fall at any point. But then when you see a large building made of wood, you don't have that same thought.
Sure, interesting.
So I wanted to kind of...
Well, I do.
Bring that together. Well, okay, that's
if you have an anxiety disorder, you're constantly thinking it.
You're constantly thinking every building, every house, every bridge is going to fall.
Casey, how about this? If you make your millions through trees or woodworking,
yeah, okay,
and you have this beautiful mansion, mm-hmm. right? And somebody comes over, you'd be like, this is the house that wood built. And then they'd be like, oh, interesting. And then you could kind of side-eye them and say, aren't they all?
I don't know how good that joke will be when it comes to time.
You know, it's so specific. I think it'll work really well in that situation.
So the first thing that I wanted to talk about is, well, really what I want to do is talk about what wood is, first off.
Okay.
And then draw us a picture of a tree growing from start to finish and how it grows.
Fascinating.
So I'm going to start by saying... Wow. We're talking about wood today.
Mm.
So, red oak. Alex is like, yeah, no, we already covered that. Come on, keep going.
I thought there was something more.
No, just that's it. So, we're talking about wood today. But we're talking about wood in the instance of it being that organic substance that is growing inside of a tree that is holding it up.
Sure. Like, we're talking about, we're talking about the pig's muscles. We're not talking about pork.
Yes. Perfect example.
Right.
Yes. So to start with, we're going to imagine a little tree is growing up and is a dicot, because that's what we're talking about with our northern red oak.
Yes.
Dicot comes up. It has its two little cotyledons. It's two little embryonic cells or leaves that come out. Those leaves pop up and you see this little green stem. That is the very first stem tissue of a tree.
Beautiful.
That's technically on its way to becoming wood, but it is first going to grow up, and all the cells are going to be new and fresh and silly and green.
Right.
They're not really tough. You can just snap them with your fingers if you want. But give that 1 year, and it will put on a new ring of wood.
Mm.
That is when we can really start saying, okay, here we go. Now that's wood.
Now this is a tree.
Yes, even though it is, you know, a 3-inch toothpick of a small little sapling.
Wow.
That technically counts as a tree.
Okay.
Don't get us started with what exactly is a tree. We've had that conversation. We're going to let that die, or you can just go back and listen, you know, however many episodes we've talked about that.
Oh, geez.
So we're going to say if it is a species that becomes a tree, right now we're going to call it this tree.
Mm.
So we have this little teeny tiny sapling. The first thing that it's doing is it is putting on a new, well, I guess technically the second thing, is putting on a ring of wood.
Yes.
So its second year of growing, it survived the first year, didn't get eaten by a rabbit or something like that. It puts on a new little ring. Now that first central area inside of a tree is called the pith.
And
the
pith,
you're familiar? It's like that very central dot in the, in the tree.
Well, you know, I know pith culinarily as like the white part of an orange, say, or a citrus.
Sure.
That sort of stringy white fibrous stuff, which I'm assuming is sort of the same.
You know, it kind of is, but also isn't.
Okay.
Because there is, like, you can call something pithy, like there's a description, but a pithy is usually like what's a little catty or a little like pointed of a comment.
Sure.
Then there's the pith that is around the orange. That's kind of the stuff that's in between the outside and the actual thing we eat.
But it's also growing up the middle, which is what I was thinking.
Yes. I think that's the place where they come together.
Yeah.
Because the pith of a tree is that very center of it. So if you cut a tree cross-sectionally and you're looking at that cross-section of a stump where you can count all the rings, when you go from the outside ring to the very middle, that middle dot, that is our pith.
And is that pith wood?
It is sometimes. Most of the time it is wood.
Okay.
Occasionally there are trees that have a hollow pith.
I've seen that.
Yeah, it tends to get filled up with extratives, which we'll talk about in a second.
Like blue 90 and yeah, red 45.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, they just inject it in there and call it good. No, it is generally going to be filled at some point by some chemical as the tree starts to grow out. So every year it's putting on this new ring, and there's going to be the pith, which is that very central thing, and then ring 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. We call those growth rings.
Yes.
And essentially a growth ring, and wood generally speaking, is made up of a few things. The first is fiber. Fiber is essentially the, as our favorite book, which we actually, I guess I shouldn't say favorite book, our favorite website.
Yes.
That is also a book.
Turned a book.
Is the Wood Database. I pulled a lot of the information we're talking about from this book, which I highly recommend. It's by Eric Meyer. Go to the website. Go to the book.
Would you throw that at me?
Ooh, Alex, I can
like
do
the
it.
Old days.
Ugh, that was a horrible throw. I did it lefty.
It was pretty bad. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Alex. I really regret that.
It looked like it was going to happen faster and further than it did.
And then I realized I was throwing a lefty backhand, which, you know, even on my good Frisbee days, is a bad throw.
It's a bit of a failed launch, but that's okay. Yeah, I caught it.
Yeah, well, we have a destruction device in there. So when it does fail, the book's just going to explode.
But yes, this is a great book, Eric Meyer, M-E-I-E-R. But it's, to me, it's an even better website, wood-database.com.
It's so good.
It's great.
So they, in this book, talk all sorts about what exactly wood is, and all the constituents of it, and everything you could ever need to know about wood in particular.
Wow.
Now, the fiber, the way they describe it in the book, is essentially the backdrop for everything else. So when you're just looking at a piece of wood, and generally whenever I'm describing these things, imagine you're looking down on a cross section. So cross section would be that the stump essentially, or the end of a log or a branch or a piece of wood, something like that.
The end grain, is that what woodworkers call it?
Exactly the term. Yeah. Okay. So if you read this book, Alex?
No, but I'm loosely familiar with some woodworking terms.
Okay, very well done. So that
I'm pretty
end
cool.
grain, you dude, Alex, come on, don't say yourself short.
Never whittled a spoon, but I know what end grain is.
Yeah, honestly, that sounds like such a good like an attack or something. Like, listen, I never whittled a spoon, but I know what end grain is. Okay.
Oh yeah, shit!
Damn, that's what I'm talking about.
That's at the presidential debate.
Yeah. Right. But then what if the other guy's like, well, I have whittled a spoon. And then you're like, oh, shit. There's nothing I can do.
I have whittled a spoon. I worked with whittling spoons. And you, sir, are no whittled spoon.
So we have the fibers. And the fibers are kind of the strong cellulose material in wood.
Okay.
And those are the things that are just doing the work. They're essentially just the structure that keeps things together, that keeps things moving, that keeps the trunk itself strong.
Yes.
They are very good in tensile strength. Now, secondarily, we have the vessels. And I need to say this, vessels and pores are what we're talking about, mm-hmm. not tracheids. You might have to wait approximately 2 weeks before we're going to talk about that.
Wow. Okay.
Because we're talking about wood on a dicot, wood that is on an angiosperm tree, which is different than the wood on a conifer or something like that.
Okay.
We'll talk about that later. Don't worry about it.
All right.
So vessels are those big rings. So if you cut an oak, like a red oak in half, mm-hmm. and you look down, you'll see these big holes in the wood.
Hmm.
And those are the vessels. And that's how the tree moves things up and down. So
no
those
kidding.
Are the literal vessels. They're pores and tubes that take water and nutrients up in the xylem.
You're already confusing me here, Casey.
How so, Alex?
Because I was under the impression for the last 3 years,
mm-hmm.
2 years, that xylem and phloem were responsible for transport of goods.
That's a great point, Alex.
And that they were just beneath the surface of the bark.
Yes.
And then there's the wood. But now you're telling me, this is a bombshell.
This is.
That there are vessels within the wood itself.
Correct.
That take stuff up and down.
Yes.
Well, I've been lied to.
You have not been. I'm sorry, because I'm the one who would have been the liar in this case.
Yeah, you lied.
And you know what, Alex? I'm gonna say no. Mm. Let me try and dig myself out of this hole.
Okay.
So the xylem and the phloem are the two parts of the vascular cambium just underneath the bark. The phloem is what takes the photosynthate and the sugars produced in the leaves and puts that out to the rest of the tree, the roots, the stems, all that.
Flows out.
Exactly. Flows out and down is how you think about
yeah.
it. Then the xylem are the cells that are on the inside, and those are the ones that take the water and nutrients and everything from the ground and move it up.
Okay.
So
the way you can remember that is that the most fun thing to do on a xylophone is go.
That's perfect. That's great. Yeah. But you, of course, always go from the low to the high.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Perfect. So the other thing about this is that xylem is the Greek word for wood.
Right.
So the sapwood, which is the wood that we're talking about
mm-hmm.
right now in this moment, that has all these vessels in it that are open and they're running things and they're storing water.
Okay.
They're living cells.
Okay.
And so the xylem cells, those ones that are made on the inside, those are the freshest. They're moving. They're having a good time. Then as you go back into the older rings, year -1, year -2, year -3, those are also still living cells.
Mm.
Just that sapwood, and they're filled with different chemicals. Mostly, they're just moving things up and down. So they'll store water, they'll store sugars, and they will help transport those up to the next level.
Do older layers of sapwood work less efficiently than younger
yes,
layers? They
precisely.
Do?
Wow. They will die.
Yeah. And well, we've said before that they retire.
Exactly.
And they become
yes.
heartwood.
And they become heartwood.
Which is like inert.
Exactly. Doesn't do any work. Only living cells will store water or move water.
Yeah.
And it has, and then as those cells die, that's when they're filled with those extratives that we were talking about with the pith.
Yes. That's how they become heartwood.
Precisely, Alex.
Because they also change color when they become heartwood.
Exactly.
So I'm assuming that's due to the additives.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know,
the extratives.
Expletives.
Yes. The expletives. Yeah. Every single time that tree curses, it has to put one expletive in the bank in the heartwood.
The curse jar of the tree.
Yeah, exactly. That's such a good way to look at it.
Hell yeah.
So the cursed jar of the tree will then get filled and become way more decay resistant. And that's what's important. Because now what this tree is doing, so now when we're talking about our little sapling, it grows up from the apical meristem every year, gets a little bit taller, the branches get a little bit wider, the stem puts on another ring every single year. So as it's doing that, all the older stuff, and now our tree's probably going to have to be 20, 30, 40 years right now, where you start getting those extratives happening in the very middle, because only the very middle heartwood starts to die, and that's when it starts getting filled with all these extratives.
Okay.
Extractives are also a term that it's the same term, but extratives versus extractives, I don't know where the emphasis should be. Anyway.
I like extratives.
I do too. That's a little harder to say,
but... So where does that word come from? Why?
That's a great question. Essentially, the tree is, as all of this, all these cells die, the things, all the different moisture and water, they call it free water, starts to move out of that wood into the other cells.
Being extracted.
And then it leaves behind certain chemicals.
Okay.
Exactly. So that is how we develop all these parts of the tree. We have the heartwood, the sapwood, the cambium, and the barks on the very outside. Every year a tree grows, it is building up that wood. And you have the fiber in our oak trees and all the rest of our angiosperms. We have these pores or the vessels that are moving things up. We also have ray cells, and those are the cells that grow radially out from the middle of the tree and kind of connect these different parts. So the latest wood and the earliest wood are connected with these kind of horizontal spoke cells called rays.
Oh, yeah. I've seen this.
Yeah. If you've looked at any, the end grain of any wood that is a hardwood, otherwise known as an angiosperm, that is what you're looking at.
Why is this new information to me?
Well, because we just haven't covered it, Alex. That's what we're doing today.
It's kind of shocking.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you could just gloss over it, talk about 1,000 different things, and then turn around and realize you missed an exit and be like, oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And honestly, Alex, I this is both me breaking it to you and me giving you a little bit of a, here you go, kid. You just weren't ready, you know? But now...
Oh, wow.
Now you're ready.
Okay.
Now you're ready.
I don't know how that's not an insult, but...
As our good friend David Yabu used to always ask, is that a compliment or an insult?
Yeah, it's hard to tell on that one.
Now, one thing I should note about our northern red oak...
Yes.
...that it has tyloses, which are little holes throughout the wood, right?
That's right. We've talked about tyloses in the context of... wine barrels.
Yes. Now,
well, in that you want to use when if you're making wine or like bourbon or whiskey or whatever,
storing anything in a barrel, really.
Yeah, you want to use a white oak,
precisely,
because they have very tight tyloses, which means nothing's going to be leaking out of them.
Yeah, because these holes, these pores, they get filled in as the tree ages.
Yes.
So if you don't have them filled in with these tight tyloses, which are kind of these cells that blow up and become these big balloons that then block these cells. And of course, they do this so that any decay can't just use this nice tubes system to get around the tree.
I see.
So they block it up. So our...
It's kind of creating a problem and then solving it. I don't know.
Yeah, all at the same time. Yeah. So the tree's like, well, I don't need this anymore, so I'm just going to fill in all of the holes and just call it good.
Yeah, okay.
And it becomes structure.
So maybe a northern red oak or red oaks in general have more bigger, looser tyloses?
Yes, exactly. So they will let any amount of thing kind of keep going through.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is how a tree develops. And these are all bits and parts that gets put in there. You have parenchyma cells, which are, they store stuff. They're these cells that basically are like closets in the space, and those are where, you know, all sorts of stuff, like water and nutrients and starches and sugars, all kind of stored in the parenchyma cells. It's kind of a catch-all term a lot of times.
Okay.
But again, we're not talking now so particular. We could go into wood anatomy forever. We're going to leave it just saying they're kind of the closets. Then you kind of have the hallways, which are these long pore cells. You have the ray cells that are kind of like these other hallways that go in the opposite direction to make sure that everything can get, you know, left and right and up and down.
I'm imagining the street layout of Paris.
Yes. Yeah, that's great. If there was another Paris on top and then another one and then another one, so on and so forth.
An endless Paris.
Yes. Now, the other thing about wood, which is really the part that makes me like get really excited, the context of it being in a tree,
mm-hmm.
is that this is just the basic set of units that the tree is working with. It says every year I'm going to put on a new ring. I'm going to have all these component parts. They're all going to be reconnected. It's all going to fit together in a really nice cohesive manner. But the other thing that wood does is it will grow up and it is the thing that responds to everything. I think about it as infrastructure, Alex.
Okay.
You go outside onto your street and you have the road and you have a bridge and you have a road construction crew fixing the pothole over here. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's another issue over there. Another crew's making that happen. Wood and trees are doing that all the time, always. Like what we said, wood, trees are always responding to something.
Right.
The thing that is doing that response is the wood. Mm. Or if anything, if you look at it on a longer timeline,
uh-huh.
it is the wood's response growth every year that tells you what the tree's been dealing with.
Right.
So, for example, as our little sapling is growing up, let's say there's another sapling right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
That little sapling will be growing up on, let's say, the south side,
mm-hmm.
which means our north side tree has to grow maybe a little bit taller and quicker, and it will have no branches on one side.
Right.
It's not going to have any branches on one side because there's another tree over there, which means if it puts its leaves out and its branches out, it's going to be shaded out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have one tree with no branches on the north side, another tree with no branches on the south side growing right next to each other. The sun in our northern hemisphere is actually coming down kind of on the south side. So a south aspect will have more sun than the north aspect. So our northern tree has to grow a little bit taller to get above the tree on the south. The tree on the south is going to have all of its branches putting out is going to have all of its branches growing out on that south side, right? So what you can see if you start to look at the way these trees are developing is they're responding to the pressures and all the different influences and everything that's happening from the other trees, but also from gravity and snow and wind. So one tree is protecting the other tree from wind. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Then you have gravity. So if one branch is coming way out, and Alex, if you imagine yourself walking like a zombie.
I'd love to.
Okay. So you're walking like a zombie. You have your hands straight out. And if someone was to hand you a big bucket of water,
mm-hmm.
and your arms are still straight out, you'll notice, and everyone at home, feel free to play along. Grab this big heavy thing. It could be a bunch of books. It could be water. I use water because I'm imagining like a snow load or something.
Yeah, that's good.
So as you're holding that out like your zombie self, you'll notice your entire body will start to flex in a certain position. You'll lean forward just a little bit. Your back muscles will all of a sudden be like, grrr,
yeah.
and they'll be working really hard. And the front of your toes will be working really hard.
Right.
Because everything that you do in your body all has to be transferred down to the ground.
Your whole body responds to this thing.
Exactly. Same thing with trees.
Sure.
So as that one tree on the south side is growing bigger branches because it's got all the room in the world, it will start to lean over towards the south. It also has this other tree growing a little bit taller behind it, so it's kind of overtaking it. So you have one tree that's really leaning out, and it has to hold itself up. So how does a tree do that?
Wood.
It does by wood. Alex, you're good at this. You know that? You are.
I can see where a narrative is going.
I can smell what you're stepping in here.
It would be weird if it wasn't, you know?
Yeah, right. It's actually, I can't even think of
this
a good thing.
This thing I'm introducing right now.
It's actually birds, Alex. Birds take care of all these things. So what happens is this growth pattern starts to develop inside the tree. You yeah. can't see it because it's all covered with bark.
Sure.
But that oak tree will start to put more wood on that backside. Just as I was explaining, if you're holding out that bucket of water, all of your back muscles will be the ones that are really flexing to hold you up.
Right.
They are all in tension. Alex, I have a question. Did you know all of your muscles are only able to pull?
No. Nice. I didn't really think about that. I mean, I know that you're giving me a fact, but I had to like logify it for myself.
It's one of those things. So all of your muscles, every single one only pulls. You don't have a single muscle in your body that pushes, that exerts any kind of push. It all pulls.
Okay.
So if you are leaning on your toes, your back muscles are activated to hold you up. Your front muscles, like in your stomach and on your chest, will be doing very little. They'll probably still be flexing because it's one big unit. Everything kind of works together. But if you were to only lift up buckets of water for your entire life, your front chest will be very minimal. Your back, all of those back muscles will be out of this world strong.
So when I open a door, obviously the muscles are pulling.
Yes.
But when I close a door, the opposite, the yang to those yin muscles are pulling.
And now we're back to the yang and the yang.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly. Wait, no. Yin and yang. Okay, thank you. That's exactly right. And trees do this same thing.
Mm.
Specifically, the angiosperms are broadleaf trees. They will be only producing, and I shouldn't say only, but they produce mostly this tension wood. So our tree that's on the south side that's leaning out towards the sun, it's going to be putting on more wood on that tension side, the north side of that.
Okay.
The tree that's growing on the other side will be putting wood on the opposite side because it's holding itself up, kind of growing away from this other tree on the opposite side. So they will always do it on that tension side. Conifers, which again, we'll talk about in a couple of weeks, they do it on the compression side.
Wow.
Which is on the opposite side. So the conifers say, whoa, we got to put some wood over here. Let's hold this up. And then our broadleaf trees say, whoa, let's pull this up.
I mean, talk about a yin and yang, Casey.
Yeah,
conifers,
right?
Conifers and broadleaves. It's
a beautiful relationship.
I love it.
So to kind of wrap this all up and kind of give ourselves a bit of an idea of what this kind of pans out to be.
Let's put the cap on this acorn.
Let's put the cap on this little adorable little chubby acorn.
This little Frenchman.
It is, and I should say, it's only Frenchmen because that's the only people that anyone can ever think of wearing berets these days. So we're sorry.
Please.
Anyway, all of our French listeners are going to be like, how dare you? I wear baseball caps like a normal American.
They actually don't sell baseball caps in France.
They don't,
I've looked into this.
Nice, okay. That would be so funny, like in the World Baseball Cup or whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone is wearing baseball caps except the French are wearing baseball berets.
Well, I think what happens is, you can, even if you live in France and you order one online, order a baseball cap online, you put it on your head and you go to look in the mirror and it has transformed into a beret.
Okay, yeah, it's just it's not lost in translation, it's created in translation.
That's right.
Okay, good. So so our oak trees, and I guess I should kind of also bring this back to our northern red oak.
Yes.
Because they get so big, these trees have such complicated canopies on how they're moving and how they're reacting and how they're growing.
Mm-hmm.
So every year, a tree will be putting on new wood wherever anything happens. So as our little red oak is growing up, it's growing away from one tree on one side of it, and it is constantly putting on this tension wood to hold itself up. Then, as the tree grows out, it puts on more and more wood. Then a branch comes out on one side, and it's got to support that branch, so it puts on more tension wood over there.
Right.
And they get so big and massive that if you actually cut some of those branches in half, the pith of that branch, the very central point, will be way off center.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's putting on way more wood on one side than it is the other.
Interesting.
So trees will do this. They'll grow up, and if they're bending over, we in the arboriculture industry use the term a corrected lean or an uncorrected lean.
Hmm.
A corrected lean is when a tree kind of bends over or is growing phototropically away from something, and it is totally leaning, but it has been growing and leaning like that and reinforcing itself every day, every year of its life. So the tree's perfectly capable and able to stand itself up. It has corrected its lean.
Okay.
Whereas if it's an uncorrected lean, it means the tree is unstable and it's literally about to fall over.
Got it.
So a tree growing like our northern red oak that gets so big will have a canopy and have wood anatomy that is growing up in every possible way, where every time there's a little bit of movement, the tree's like, well, I remember that. And it's going to put on more wood over there. Every time there's a bit of a stress, because there's a lot of weight on the end of this branch, gravity's pulling it down, the tree says, okay, next year, I'm going to put a little bit of wood right there.
Right, clever.
And it just adds wood, mostly on that tension side, but it'll do it on, 100 or 360 degrees around this thing. It will grow and it will make sure that every bit of that tree is extra protected. So if you watch this tree grow up over time and then you cut it down, you can read all the forces that it was dealing with throughout its entire life.
That's honestly one of my favorite parts of wood, Casey, right? Is that... Listen, I'm going to get a little...
Come on, Alex. give us what you got.
You know, wood really tells a story. I mean, it's true, right?
It does,
it's literally true.
And we haven't even talked about this episode, because we have previously, the issues of the tree getting damaged, right? Because it also then responds to that by putting on new wood in certain places.
Right. Wood in certain places.
Yeah.
It's a nice thought.
You like
huh?
that? Yeah. Ooh. Need a little wood right there.
A little touch of wood.
Yeah.
Well, Casey, that was a whole lot of information.
It's a whole lot of information.
And I'm sated, I will say.
Okay, yeah. Are you getting full? A little too much acorn flour there?
I'm going to barf. You know, as you were talking about that stuff, I did drift for a moment thinking of that meme, "Sir, this is a Wendy's," of you just like in the drive-thru.
You have brought that up to me before.
Yeah, it's funny,
like that
to
one.
Me. Well, hey, Casey, beautiful tale, well told.
Oh, wow.
And we are now going to ruin it by giving this tree an arbitrary rating, but we have to do so after the break.
It's very true.
We'll be right back with Completely Arbitrary. I should say more Completely Arbitrary. Alex here. Here's a little something about me. I love to be cozy. Coziness is of utmost importance to me, and I am in a constant search for coziness. And that is why we present to you Cozy Earth. Cozy Earth makes luxurious bedding and clothing products. And what do I mean by luxurious? Let me tell you this. I now have Cozy Earth sheets on my bed. I wear a full Cozy Earth sweatsuit to bed, and I have been getting the best sleep of my life. It is quite literally the softest material I've ever put on my body, and my skin is so happy in it. I usually have a little bit of a sensory thing. I don't like things touching my skin. Clothes are tough, but with Cozy Earth, I am treated to superior softness, unparalleled fabric, materials, and weave. This is a real endorsement. It's the most comfortable material to ever grace my birthday suit. And guess what? You deserve this coziness too. So treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear. And you know what? Completely Arbitrary listeners, a little inside detail here. You all get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES. That's TREES for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. Now you go and get cozy.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. That was our discussion of the Northern Red Oak. It is now time to give this Northern Red Oak... It's a
rating between 1 and 10 Golden Cubs.
Holy
of honor.
Shit.
Are you okay?
We haven't done this in 4 weeks because we were on our excellent adventure and I completely forgot what this part was.
Usually you would ask me, at least for the last 4 weeks, does this change your rating?
Right, but we're back to the rating itself.
The OG, yeah.
I've got time travel sickness. Take me to Doctor Who.
Nice.
All right.
That was a good one.
All right. Here's how it works. We're going to give some final thoughts and then give this tree a rating of 0 to 10 Golden Cones of Honor. Casey, as our resident expert, we'll begin with you.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate this. Alex, I love to look at this tree. I say that as I'm going through the pictures.
Yes.
Because I just think they're so gorgeous.
Casey's scrolling.
One of my favorite examples of this tree is it's not even in LA. It's just like 4 or 5 of them planted on, I think, 21st, 22nd Avenue, just south of Burnside Street.
Okay.
There is a row of them. They're massive. And there's a building on the west side that is short. So if you are standing, if you're on Ankeny Street and you just rode your bike past 20th and you look up and you say, oh, I should go to the Mad Greek Deli, isn't it around here somewhere? You'll see these trees as long as you're riding east. Now, if those directions weren't clear, I'm sorry.
Just so specific.
It's because this is such a great tree. There's a whole grove of the, or whole like just row of them planted.
Yeah.
And all of them look like, kind of looks like you have one stem and then you take a bunch of straws and you just go pop, 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 and pop all those straws in because the branches are all growing straight up at maybe a 70 or so degree angle.
Uh-huh.
So there's just these 3 or 4 gigantic trees, all of them growing with their hands perfectly up, or their branches, I guess. They're not technically hands.
Because there's street tree in it?
Yeah, and okay. It's just how these trees grow.
I see.
They put these big branches out and up, and there's a couple heritage trees that we have in the city that do the same thing, except those branches, instead of being maybe, let's say, 10 or 12 inches in diameter, they are like 20 or 30 inches in diameter.
Okay.
They are massive trees.
That's a big old tree.
And you just look at them, and I've seen some of these, and I'm like, how are you holding yourself up? Like,
well, now we know, Casey.
Oh my God. Yeah. And that's why I thought it would be really good to do this tree and talk about the wood, because A, everyone loves oak trees. Oak trees are famous for all sorts of different things. I think they're famous for growing and being these massive, huge, big organisms that constantly, every single year, just don't let themselves fall over.
Yeah, that is shocking that they can do that.
Yeah, and keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah. That's the thing that makes me be like, how did you do that?
It's like a whale's heart. Like, how do you pump that much blood?
It's like a car's worth of a heart. It's giant. So, the northern red oak is one of my favorite trees. It's one that is so common, but like one of those trees where it is so common, but keep planting them.
Wow.
They're great trees. They
a rarity.
It's a rare tree. 99% of the time, I wouldn't say that. I would say that for this tree.
Sure.
They're super tough. They grow really well. They're gorgeous trees. They're wonderful to climb. So you just can't go wrong. They are a dime a dozen though, so they're not unique, but sometimes you just need that car that you're just like, hey, that is a Toyota Camry. It's going to just last forever.
It'll get you there.
This is the Toyota Camry of trees.
Love it.
Except it's like, you know, the extra long Hummer sized Camry because they're giant trees.
The Brett Favre special edition.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know
so
if that's a thing, but
they got
I was thinking of the Eddie Bauer.
Oh, like Jeep, okay, or something. Yeah. But I like the idea of Brett Favre having his own like line of Jeeps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that is something that would happen.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he does Levi's or something, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, I would say for the northern red oak, even though it's not a spectacularly unique special tree, it's one of the most best trees around.
Wow.
I'm going to give it an 8.4.
That's incredible. 8.4 golden cones of honor.
Golden cones of honor.
For the northern red oak from Casey Clapp.
I feel confident about that.
That's great.
I feel good.
I love to see you give a tree a good rating.
Yeah, me too. And this one, yeah, it feels good. It feels good. Like Michelin star rating. I'd give it like a 2.
That's really good.
Is it really good?
I think Michelin stars are like exponentially
weighted
or something, you know, like
maybe logarithmically, so each one's 10 times better than the last.
Something like that, like, okay. One star is like famously impressive.
Okay, gotcha. All right, well, that's what I would do.
Your Michelin stars are your own, just as your cones.
Thank
are
you. Yes I'm gonna start giving them to like restaurants that I just think are really great and see if people will be like, oh my gosh,
the Burgerville on Hawthorne.
Yeah, 5 Michelin stars at least when I went there last night at 2 a.m
All right.
What do you think, Alex? Now, I wanted to kind of lead in. You have experience with this tree. I failed at the beginning, is what I'm saying. You've seen this tree 100 times.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Whether I knew it was the northern red oak.
Exactly.
Is a different story.
Precisely. But
I guarantee you. Well, does the northern red oak is like a green tree, right?
When
it's
yes.
not when it's not autumning.
Oh, correct. Okay. Yeah. Oh my gosh, look, it's autumning. Wow. Correct.
Falling. Okay, so the northern red oak, I have a fondness for mm-hmm. the acorns, mm-hmm. the little Frenchmen in their little caps,
lovely little hat,
and I like.
I said eating way too much butter.
How dare you? And I like the leaves enough. They're all right for a red oak leaf.
Wow.
You know, I love a big broadleaf tree. It's so they're so stunning and they're so, I guess, wonderful. You know, like you wonder at them.
You're just like, my God.
Yeah. They kind of this beech tree over here. I just every time I see it, I'm like, wow, that's a really big tree.
Yeah.
Like, I think big broadleaf trees are more impressive than big conifers.
You know,
maybe like the coastal or the coast red.
I think that's a very fair thing because they get so massive, right?
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing where you have to remind yourself they're held up by wood.
Right.
Organically. They did it themselves.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Trees pretty do cool. it for themselves. Yeah,
I agree with you entirely.
Boy, Case. I'm going to give it a respectable 6.7.
As long as it's respectable.
Yeah.
I want you to give a tree a disrespectable 6.7.
6.7. 6.75 golden cones of honor.
6.75. Yeah. You went all the way to that. So yeah, that's like officially three quarters.
I wanted to round it out to a nice even fraction.
I think that's a very good idea.
So it's I like it.
6.5.
It's just like I don't have like the emotional draw, you know?
You haven't climbed one.
I haven't climbed one, Casey. Okay.
All right.
Not that I remember anyway. That was our discussion and our review of the Northern Red Oak. It's time for a completely arbitrary Q&A.
This is a true Quercus. And answer.
Wow, it really is,
yeah.
Case.
Yeah.
And we've got one from a brand new fungal associate on the Patreon, Anne Marie.
Oh, bonjour, Anne Marie.
Hi, Anne Marie. Anne Marie says, hey, new fungal associate here. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Anne Marie. Mm-hmm. I just recently discovered y'all, and I'm in love.
Hey, we love to hear that.
I wish we could hang out in real life and talk about trees all day.
Okay.
I have been taking notes on the episodes I've listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And then Anne Marie, in parenthetical.
Hold on. How good of a note taker are you?
And can we hire you?
And can we make sure that you're able to scratch out 30% right. of those notes?
Yeah.
That actually makes me quite nervous. I don't know why.
People are listening?
Are they actually writing these things down?
It's fine if you listen and then the sound waves just dissipate. But if you like make a note of these things.
As soon as someone says they're listening and remembering, we panic.
That's scary.
It's a lot of pressure.
And I feel like I desperately need a tree log similar to a mushroom forager's log.
I see for the notes.
Yes, Casey. Okay. They have logs like a log book for all sorts of things. Hikes, birds, national parks, campsites, fish, but no tree log. I can't find one.
Oh my God.
I'm going to be forced to make one. What fields would you include in a tree log if you were going to make one? Anne Marie, thank you so much for that question.
It was a great question.
I love this question, Case.
Yes.
I love stationary.
Right? I will have to say, when you first suggested this,
yes,
I thought that they were talking about an actual literal log.
Yes.
And I was like, there's plenty of tree logs out there. Every tree has its own log. It comes with it.
You got a little bit of pun vertigo.
I do. Yes, that's it. Oh, man. It was bound to happen at some point.
I'll turn around.
Shoot, that's a really good point. I know the first thing that I think of is the simplest log, which is, everyone, please get your Sibley guide to trees out and flip to the back.
Oh.
Because he is a bird person, bird people have these logs, and they would write down all the different birds they see, but it's like a checklist.
Okay, like here's the species.
Yes.
Here's where I saw it. Here's what it was doing when I found it.
That's not even on the Sibley guide. It's literally just a little box that you would just do, whoop, and check.
Oh.
Like, yeah, I've seen that tree. Cool.
That's
not what we're talking about.
Not a lot of engagement.
Exactly. So that, now I'm thinking, well, that a tree log would be a really great thing. You'd have to do certainly the size of the tree, the diameter of the tree,
absolutely,
the leaves, the fruit, the color of the flowers, the foliage.
There's a lot of fields on that log.
Yeah. And you know what?
I mean,
here's the thing, though, is that all these things could change at any given time. You have to go back to this tree and maybe you should mark the season, because you'd say, okay, here I am walking in fall. I see all these trees. Some have flowers, some don't. So you couldn't just say, you know, at any given point, I'm going to mark all these things, right?
I think I think we condense all of these, like, what's the fruit? What's the flower? What's all the ID components into species.
Ah.
You ID the tree using a different text, and then you just write the species.
Mm.
Well, I guess then what are you writing in the other fields?
I think you should log... I mean, it should be some ID characteristics, but I think it should also be how you feel. I think you should log this book or log the tree.
An emotional tree log.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. Did you see this tree and you're like, wow, I was stunned? Or did you see this tree and you're like, wow, I saw this cottonwood and I was like, this is stupid. Like, does it make you angry?
Yeah. By, like, this horse chestnut.
Right?
Never.
I have been upset while I've, like, seen hollies where, like, I would log a holly and be like, this tree really pissed me off.
Right.
My hands are completely poked.
I think this is a really good idea, Casey.
Okay.
So, and this is kind of a spin on the genre, right?
So what do you think, Alex? What should we include? What should be, let's say, maybe we need like five.
Five fields?
Yeah.
Species.
Okay. Species is the first.
It's kind of a given, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Location.
Location.
Like, and you can be as granular as you want.
Okay. A longitude and latitude.
Yeah.
Quite granular.
Bring your, I don't even know what tool you use for that. A compass? No.
Let's just say compass, yeah.
you got to have season. That's okay. A good one.
Yeah, I think season's important.
You got to have, I think emotional reaction should be the last one.
Okay, so how about number four, we include characteristics. Then,
there you go.
We have subcategories. So whatever you can see, mark it down.
Yes.
So you have colors of the, or you have leaf color.
Uh-huh.
You have... the flower color.
Yeah.
You have the size of the tree.
Uh-huh.
And you can just estimate, you know, height and diameter.
Sure. At breast height.
Exactly. 4.5 feet above ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, maybe health? Maybe aspect?
I think we're missing one very important field here.
What?
Cone rating.
Oh, geez. Yeah, certainly we're going to need to have cone rating.
On this arbitrary field log.
That should go down to the bottom after the emotional reaction.
Yeah.
Because I think you need to have your emotional reaction, then log it.
Yes.
And say that's when you'd give your cone score.
It's a very emotive process.
I think that sounds like a great, that sounds thorough.
This sounds great. Hey, maybe, let's contact a publisher somewhere.
Yeah, seriously. We can also, I think there should be space. Maybe we can have it be, you know, you open it up, left side of the page, either left side of the open pages,
mm-hmm.
that would be this information. On the right side, a place to draw a picture.
Yes, amazing.
All right, there you go. What else do you need?
Of whatever you feel is most emblematic of the tree.
Yeah, maybe it's the leaf, maybe mm-hmm. it's the size, maybe it's this habitat, maybe there's a bird in it.
Yeah, maybe it's the salamander you found crawling around its roots.
I think it sounds like a great idea.
Probably a willow.
Yeah. Mm.
Hey, Anne-Marie, thank you so much for your brand new fandom patronage.
We're very happy to have you.
Question. We certainly are. And if you want to ask us a question on the podcast, join up on the Patreon, patreon.com/arbitrarypod. That's ARBORTRARY pod. And join that $3 a month Quercus and Alder tier. Not only do you get to submit questions for the mainline episodes, and if we don't get to it on the mainline, we'll get to it on a Patreon Q&A.
Yeah.
But you also support this podcast that you may or may not like. I don't know why you would listen to it if you don't like it.
Honestly, I'll take it. You know,
the same reason I watch 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, it just pisses you off.
Yeah.
I hate this show. Shut up. I can't hear it. What?
Above that is the $5 Arboretum tier. You can get 2 bonus episodes a month and questions on the podcast. Above mm-hmm. that, of course, Casey.
Alex, you also get 15% off our store.
That's right. Every month you get 15% off any purchase, however many times you want, on our merch store. That's pretty cool.
Forever.
Above that, of course, is the Cone of the Month Club.
Best club.
Every month we find an artist to draw a species of conifer cone. We get mm-hmm. them on stickers. We put them in an envelope with a little info card. We send them to your physical mailbox.
Yep.
As always, every envelope guaranteed to be licked by Mr. Casey Clapp. Give us a good asthma little... Very good. That's more of a sucking than a licking.
How do you lick? Huh. And we do that differently, Alex.
If people hated the candied walnuts, they're going to despise this.
Let's just keep practicing until we get our licks right on our microphones.
In real time. Above that, $15 a month. You get everything we've already said, plus you get 2 live streams a month. one with Casey and I on a host of topics, and one with just me playing a tree or nature-themed video game. And of course, above that, at the top of Mount Olympus, is the generous admission. Starts at $20. You can make whatever you want. If you want to go above and beyond to support this podcast, support Casey and I and the work we're doing, we appreciate patrons at any level. We appreciate Fungal Associates at any level. We're happy to have you here.
That's exactly right.
Casey, clap.
What a bunch of fun, Alex.
That was a bunch of wood fun, huh?
Yeah. You know,
I have to say, Casey, I would do it again.
Oh, God. End it.
What you couldn't see is me stroking my chin.
Yeah, very inquisitively.
Yeah.
I can see it.
All right. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Completely Arbitrary. We will see you next time. Goodbye.
Au revoir. Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.